for coming this evening. I want to expand a special welcome to our visitors. Our next time of worship will be Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Bible study, 10 o'clock for worship, and again, Sunday night at 4:40 for our children's class, and 5:05 for worship. Taking a part in the worship this evening, reading will be done by Landon Black. He'll be reading Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 11. Our first prayer will be by Garrett Wyatt. Our closing prayer will be done by Ryan Black. The first psalm leader this evening will be Eli Epperson. And the first number will be number 594. It will be on the screen behind me. Presiding at the Lord's Supper this evening will be Ryan Black and Jeb Holt. There will be more announcements at the end of service, but if you will please at this time, stand for our reading, first prayer, and song to follow.
Philippians 1, 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you all my joy. For your fellowship in gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you, all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel, you are the partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God.
Song tonight will be number 594 in the regular book. We'll be singing the first and third verses. I have found a friend in Jesus.
He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. To glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Number 276. Would you be free
from your burden of sin? There's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful fire in the blood. There is fire, where free from your passion and pride. There's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's one little fire in the blood. There is fire, wonder-working fire in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is fire, wonder-working fire in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King?
Are those that are here tonight need to partake of the Lord's Supper? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to partake of what was part of your Son's body. Please be with those at this time that partake of the Lord's Supper, that they remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood that was shed for us. In Christ's name, amen. Let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us have this opportunity to remember your Son's death. Please be with those who are about to partake of the cup. Hopefully they will do so in remembrance of thee and remembrance of your death, your burial, and your resurrection, so that we can know that we have the chance and the hope that we can be resurrected to be with you in heaven. In Christ's name, amen. Would anyone like to give unto the Lord at this time?
Jesus, Lamb of God, where
Up to the book of Philippians. It's where the majority of our lesson will be coming from tonight. The title of our lesson is Finding the True Joy of a Christian. And so tonight I was just going to give a little background on when the letter was written, who it was written to, and who wrote it. Of course, we know that Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians in the city of Philippi. And Philippi was located in the northeastern Greece area, or you could say Macedonia. Of course, the church in Philippi was founded by Paul on his second missionary journey. You can find that in Acts chapter 16. And some of the events that you may remember that happened in Philippi, remember Paul taught Lydia, she was a seller of purple. He taught her there. And her and her family were converted. You may remember when Paul and Silas encountered the slave girl. She had the power of divinity. She could tell the future. She had a demon. And she would follow them around and pretty much annoy Paul. So Paul cast the demon out of her, which made the owners angry and put them in prison. Got them put in prison. Which led to the Philippian jailer. You remember that account where there was an earthquake and the Philippian jailer thought that all the inmates had escaped and was about to kill himself because of it, but Paul and Silas were still there. And he stopped him. He said, don't do that. We're all still here. And thus, the Philippian jailer and his family were converted. So that's some events you may remember that happened in Paul's first trip to Philippi. This letter, though, that we're talking about tonight was written, some believe, around 10 years later. And it was written while he was in prison. In verse 12 of chapter 1, if you'll read with me, it says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul tells us here in this letter that he is imprisoned at this time. But it's kind of ironic when you see throughout the whole book of Philippians that joy and or rejoice is mentioned or written at least 14 times throughout the book. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in prison, it's just not something that I believe I would be feeling. And so, you can kind of see Paul's attitude. The theme for tonight, well, we're really going to talk about four main topics tonight. And the theme is rejoicing in the Lord. You'll learn that Christ should be the purpose of our life. Christ should be the pattern of our life. Christ should be the prize of our life. And Christ should be the power of our life. So I'm pretty sure that we have a lot of good material in store for us. So please give them your undivided attention. Thank you.
Number 258. And for the first we ask
to depart after our labors are born. Rest to our souls to be given on the eternal
mess up tonight, can you please bring it to our attention? That way we know what we need to fix. Christ is the answer. Christ is my purpose. Purpose. What does purpose mean? Purpose is an intended or decided result, aim, or goal. Our goal and our aim is for Jesus Christ, and we need to always aim for Christ. Will you please open to Philippians chapter 1, verses 18. Chapter 18. My mistake. Philippians chapter 1, verses 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in the present or in the truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out in deliverance, as in my eager expectation and hope that I will not all be ashamed, but with full courage, not always in Christ, will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live in Christ and to die is the gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fulfill labor for me, yet which I shall choose, and I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two, by determined is to part, and by who Christ for what is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Consider of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. For your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me and you may help accomplish cause to glory in Christ Jesus. because of my coming to you again. I want you guys to, in particular, look at verse 21. It says, "For me to live in Christ and to die is the gain." What do you think that means? What the Bible has proven to us and what we have seen is that for me to live in Christ, it means that we are living every day and we need to live towards Christ. And when it's saying for us to die is to gain, we're another step closer to God. We should be happy. We shouldn't be mourning. We shouldn't be upset. We shouldn't be upset for the ones that we lose. We always need to be there for people, but we got to know that when we die, we're gaining closer to Christ. And everything that we do in life, we need to be able to look forward to Christ and do what is honored in Christ. Now, will you please flip to Colossians chapter 3. If you have been raised with Christ, you seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated in the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden from Christ and God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What this is basically saying is adding on to Philippians. It's saying that when we die, we shouldn't be mourning up things here on earth, and we shouldn't be gathering things here on earth. We need to stay with God. We need to go with God and follow His word, and we need to do what is willing in front of us. All the answers that we need and everything that needs to be answered is in the sword, in the Bible, and everything that is willing for us to do. So, just want to say that everything that we do here in life is what is intended on purpose, and purpose is for us to stay on God.
The next one will be Heavenly Love, number 60 in our supplement books. We sing first and third verses. Heavenly Love,
Heavenly Love,
probably going to be said by everyone else, but good evening once again. So what we've been talking about so far is how we can find true joy through Christ. Christ is always the answer. Now, Jace just told us a minute ago that Christ is my purpose. And there are four chapters in Philippians. We're going to go through each one and tell you different aspects of it. I have chapter 2, and it talks about how Christ is my pattern. If you were to turn to Philippians chapter 2 real quick. Philippians chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, the rest of us are going to do the same, but I'm going to kind of give you a definition of what a pattern is. It's one of those words that we all know, but we don't really know how to define it. According to the American Heritage College Dictionary, a pattern is a model or an original used as an archetype. And an archetype is an example, a prototype, or a basis. If you would turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 21. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Now, a pattern is basically the same thing as an example. The word example in this passage comes from the Greek word, and he's going to get me about this, hupogrammos. It's one of those fun words. Hupo means under, and grapho means I write. And so together they mean a writing copy. To understand it better, I'll give you an example. It's kind of like how a preschool teacher would teach you how to write the letters. They would first write down the letter in front of you so that way you could see how it was written. Then they would give you a sheet of paper and you would write it down the same way they did. What they did was they gave you a pattern or an example to follow. So how in this passage, back in Philippians, does it teach how Christ is our pattern and our example? If I can ever get back to it. There we go. If you would turn over to verse 5, if you would go back to verse 5 of chapter 2, it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It says that we are supposed to have a similar mind to Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus' mind, as well as many other aspects of him, is our pattern that we should follow. There are many different aspects in which we should follow his example. Some of the ones that I listed, which they are not limited to these, but I found, first of all, we should follow his example of humility. Now, Christ was the most humble person to ever walk the earth. He humbled himself, it says in verse 8, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It takes a lot of humility to die on a cross. He did not have to, yet for our sakes he did. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that you by his poverty might become rich. Now, John, in John chapter 1, describes the rich part and the poor part in another way. The rich is whenever he was in heaven with God. The Word was with God. And the poor is whenever he became flesh. And the Word became flesh. Christ put our lives before his life. He did not think about himself. Another way Christ is our example is in his obedience. If you would turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. He learned obedience. He was the perfect example of obedience. If you see, before his betrayal, he knew he was going to die, and yet he said, "Your will be done," in Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. He also said in John 17, verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. He did what the Father willed for him to do, no matter what it cost. And the last thing, and our continuous theme throughout the year, is he is an example in service. So, if you would turn over to John chapter 13. Now, in this story or case in Jesus' life, it was on the night that he was going to be betrayed, and him and his disciples were gathered together for the Passover meal. Now, the disciples were talking and leave yet. It says that Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And knowing that his time was almost gone, he decides to wash the disciples' feet. Now, during that time, washing a disciple's feet was a job for a servant, someone who was lower class, someone who was working for the master. Later, down in verse 14, Jesus begins to explain what he was doing. So if you look down in verse 14, "If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him." Jesus gave us an example, and he said that right there. He told us that he's leaving us behind an example, so that way we know how to be. We are to be of service to our fellow man, and Jesus showed us that. So in conclusion, our lives should focus around Jesus Christ, as he is our pattern and example to follow. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. I'm going to read 20 through 24. "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." We're supposed to have our new self based upon God, in the likeness of God. And Christ is the perfect image of God. It says it in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So every day we should strive to be more like Christ, who is our pattern.
Number 189.
When I survey the I'm
Continuing on with our points here, the point that I have tonight is Christ is the prize. You will push it over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll be starting in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, and we'll be reading from 7 to 14. But what things were gained to me? What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, that righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If it by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay a hold of that from which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, what do you think of the word prize? The definition is something given to the winner of a competition or a race. As most of y'all know, I ran track. And one thing in a race is that you always want to be first, because when you finish in first, sometimes you get maybe a smaller prize of like a door prize, or sometimes you just get, pat on the back, other things. And that's one thing is that you always want to be the one with the prize walking away. If you will, please turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll be starting in verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you are what? Oh, my bad. I'm in chapter 4 there. I'm reading right. I was starting in verse 4 there, sorry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In that little short reading right there, in verse 7, Paul says that he has fought the good fight and has finished the race, and he has kept the faith. So that means, as for us, that means that he lived the law to the best of his abilities. And in doing so, it means he references to a crown of righteousness, and that represents Jesus. And so that means from all that he has done, he received the prize, which was the crown, which is then, of course, Jesus. If you will, please turn over to Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2 in verse 10. And I'll read this in closing out here. Revelation chapter 2 in verse 10 says, "Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But faithful until death, I will give you the crown of life." And right there, that shows that if you will endure hardships, but if you stay with me, you will receive the prize, which is him in the end.
Number 377.
We behold the wonders of
creation, the birds that bloom, the raindrops as they fall, the spacious skies and life's perpetuation. We cannot doubt that God controlled it all.
What I believe,
yes, I believe.
receive the state of alien nation, in which the soul from thee, O God, was lost. We must believe our heaven's ordination, our Lord beneath, that made the bitter cross.
Is our power of my life. Power is the ability to act and produce an effect. Remember, Paul was in jail when he wrote Philippians. Now, please turn your Bibles to Philippians 4, 10. We're going to start at verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have reviled your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you were not, for you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound. In any or every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Christ gives us the power over trials and tribulations. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll start at verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly for my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We may be weak at times, but Christ is strong. We find strength in him. Christ also gives us power over death. And now please turn your Bibles to John 11. John 11, verse 25. This is Jesus talking to Martha. This is after he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he is dead, shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, turn your Bibles to Romans, chapter 8. We're going to start at 31. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, now will he not also will graciously give us all things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is to condemn? Christ is the one who died. More than that, he raised
He who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who died for us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are conquerors through Christ. Christ also gives us the power of eternal life. Christ is the power of my life. See the power of yours.
Right. So to recap the words of the young men tonight, Christ is to be our purpose, our pattern, our prize, and our power. We are to rejoice in Christ at all times. My question to you tonight, are one of these points missing from your life? And if so, you need to look back upon your life and evaluate it. Turn with me to Philippians 4, and we'll read 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If you've been here today, you've heard the word, and you've been able to rejoice in the Lord with us. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to make your life right. So in that case, you have to believe in him. But if you've been here today, it would be hard for you not to believe in him. You have to repent of your sins and confess that he is the Son of God. And after this, you can be baptized and raised to walk with him, a new man. But if you're a Christian tonight who has fallen away, you can turn your life back to him tonight as well. So if you are subject to the invitation tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.
Sing the wondrous
song of Jesus, sing his mercy.
We all get to heaven.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out this evening. In the way of sick, we have Modine maybe going back to the chiropractor. Jeff goes back to the doctor on Tuesday, and Kaylin is waiting for the results. Was there anything overlooked? On the traveling, oh, we need to remember the people on the slide, keep doing our prayers. On traveling, Howard is back from Chicago, and the Millers are in Georgia. Meetings in the area, the congregation of East Shelby at Collierville on May 6th is having a singing, and it starts at 4:30 p.m. On miscellaneous, right after services, we're going to have a meeting for the VBS in the side room for anyone that's willing to help teach. On May 6th, the Trenton Fifth Sunday singing at the Veterans Home, that begins at 2. Is there anything that's been overlooked? We will now be led in our closing prayer by Ryan Black.
Please pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again to sing. And we hope that our worship to you is good and pleasing to you. We hope that the words that have been spoken to us by us young men have been also pleasing and right in your word. Please be those that are sick, that they come back to their good health. Those that are traveling, come back home safely. And those that are spiritually sick, come back to you.